everyone who tuned to yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. Mark Levone, you're your host for This Hour of Horror. Later on, Lights Out from 1942, but first an episode of Inner Sanctum, a CBS broadcast from March 23rd, 1949, called Only the Dead Die Twice.
This is your host to welcome you through the creaking door into the Inner Sanctum. Say, let me tell you about the new soap opera I heard the other morning. It's a slippery little stanza called John's Other Coffin. This program poses the question, can the murderous husband be happy with the spirit of his dead wife? It seems everything went fine with his marriage till one night at dinner his wife asked him to pass the knife, which he did, right through her. Then he hid her body in the town bell. That's where he made a big mistake, because the next morning she told on him.
Tonight's Inner Sanctum mystery, Only the Dead Die Twice, was written by Ed Adamson and Bob Sloan and stars Larry Haynes in the role of Johnny with Alice Reinhart as Vera.
Well, folks, sit right down and make yourselves uncomfortable. If you don't see any murder you want, just ask for it. Ready for tonight's cataleptic continuity? Okay, then. Let's get to Johnny Bryce as he tells his story.
It all started only 4 hours ago when I put the wagon away for the night. Ask me how I took a job like that, driving a hearse? Well, ask me and I'll tell you I needed a job. Any kind. But it's a job you never get used to. All the time there's that box riding in back of you. 4 hours ago, I got out of the wagon and started to head for Joe's Grill. But I never got to Joe's.
Hello?
She was standing at the door. Even in the bad light of the garage, she did things to a dress that knocked your eyes out. So I picked up my eyes and looked again.
I've been waiting for you.
All your life?
An hour of it anyway, Johnny.
Hey, you know my name.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Bryce. I know a lot about you.
That puts you one up on me.
I'm Vera Craig. I've got something that might interest you, Johnny.
Vera, you've got plenty that interests me.
I've got $1,000. See?
Hey, that stuff almost looks real.
It is real, and it's all yours, Johnny. All you have to do for it is use that hearse.
What?
There's a body I want you to take away.
Whose body?
Alex.
And who is Alec?
My husband. He's in our apartment. It's 23 Grove Street.
Well, the parlor handles the orders. Why didn't you call them?
I couldn't.
Why not?
My husband has been murdered.
Oh. Then you call the cops. The cops like to know about things like that.
I can't call the police. You see, I murdered Alec.
You killed him?
Yeah. I murdered my husband.
You say that like you say, pass me the sugar.
It wasn't hard. He was rotten mean. I'm not sorry. I've got to get rid of the body. All you have to do, Johnny, is to get it out of the apartment and bury it.
Take it out? A dead body?
That should be easy enough for you.
I'm not touching anything dead.
But you're used to death. It's around you all the time.
Yeah, it's around me. That's the trouble. You think I like it?
You won't do it for me.
Not for anybody.
Not even for this.
I told you.
Not even for $1,000. $1,000, Johnny. 10 $100 bills, see?
Look, will you stop sticking that dough under my nose?
You can do a lot with $1,000, Johnny.
Will you stop it?
Think of what $1,000 can do for you, Johnny. You say you don't like your job.
I hate it.
And you won't have to be sick with your work anymore. You can get away from it forever.
Forever?
This will be the last time you'll have to drive a hearse. All you have to do is get rid of Alec's body. $1,000 all for you. It'll free you, Johnny. What do you say?
$1,000. What do you think I say? I drove the wagon to the address Vera gave me and parked it in the side alley. The house was one of those broken-down brownstones. The halls were dingy and creepy. I was trying to find the door with the name Craig on it. The hall was so dark, I didn't see him standing there.
You're looking for something, mister?
What?
Yeah, what's the matter? I scare you?
What are you doing here?
That's just what I was going to ask you. I don't like people sneaking around these halls. I'm the super.
Oh, super.
Yeah, what do you want here?
Nothing.
Well, then what are you looking at the doors for? I've been following you.
Well, I'm trying to find a friend's apartment.
Yeah, who's your friend? I can tell you the apartment.
No, thanks. You don't have to bother. I can find it.
Look, mister, I don't like the way you act. Maybe I should call a cop.
A cop?
Yeah, you heard me.
Oh, look, you don't have to call a cop. I told you, I'm looking for a friend.
Yeah, but you still didn't tell me your friend's name.
Okay, he's Alec Craig.
Oh, Mr. Craig, eh? Well, why didn't you say so? That makes things different. Mr. Craig's apartment's up on the next floor. Rear of the hall.
Rear of the hall. Thanks.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah? What is it?
No use going up there. Mr. Craig ain't home.
But I have...
Yeah, he ain't home. He ain't been home all evening. If he was home, I'd have seen him come in, sure.
Okay, then I'll talk to Mrs. Craig instead.
Mrs. You can't do that, mister. He ain't married. There ain't no Mrs. Craig.
What kind of a gag was this? The super said there wasn't any Mrs. Craig. Then who was Vera? Well, after the super walked away, I went upstairs. The door to Craig's apartment was part open. I pushed it the rest of the way and walked in. The living room was as cold and gloomy as a morgue. I wanted to turn and go out, but something kept pulling me. Ask me and I'll tell you it was death. You couldn't see it, but you knew it was there, and you couldn't make it let go of you. Put me right through to the next room. Alec Craig was there, just as Vera said. On his white shirt, there was a big red circle. And on the floor next to him, a carving knife. Stained with the same red. I walked out of the room. $1,000 or no $1,000. I couldn't touch him, not for a million. I got to the front door and opened.
Hello.
He was standing there in the hall right in front of the door. A big guy in a black hat and coat.
I was just going to ring the bell. My name's Steve Maxton, Detective First Grade, 16th Precinct. You Alec Craig?
No. I'm a friend of Craig's.
Oh, I want to see Craig.
Well, he's not home.
Who are you?
Johnny Bryce.
You're sure Bryce and Craig isn't home?
I just told you he wasn't. Nobody's in there.
Okay, then suppose you come inside with me. We'll wait for Craig.
Well, he's not coming back tonight.
Go on. Do like I tell you. Get inside.
What is this? What do you want with me?
Just got a call to get over here. The guy who called said there was a murder.
Murder?
That's right. He said that Alec Craig was here in his apartment. Dead.
If I had gotten out of that apartment a minute before, this never would have happened to me. But now I was stuck.
I warn you, Bryce, don't try any phony moves.
Oh, you got this wrong, Maxton. Somebody's playing a gag on me.
Maybe.
Craig isn't here. You can see nobody's here.
Well, look in the next room.
Wasn't a thing I could do. When we went into the room where Craig was, I kept my eyes straight ahead. I didn't want to look down and see him again.
Yeah, I guess you were right, Bryce. Somebody was playing a gag on me.
It wasn't possible. I couldn't believe it. There wasn't a body on the floor. There wasn't a murder knife. There wasn't a single trace of death. Maxton went out and left me there alone. I stood right on the spot where Craig's dead body had been. My head spinned around like one of those kids' tops that makes that whirling sound. The sound was my own voice asking myself 100 questions, questions that didn't have any answers. The whirling sound got worse and worse. All of a sudden, it stopped.
Johnny. Aren't you glad to see me?
How'd you get here, Vera? How'd you get into that closet?
There's a back entrance to the apartment.
Look, what's going on here? There was a body right here on the floor. I saw it with my own eyes.
Yes, Johnny, you saw Alec's body. I put it in the closet to save you. If that Detective Maxton had found it, then you'd be in trouble, wouldn't you?
You said Craig was your husband.
He was.
You're a liar. Super told me Craig wasn't married. He wasn't your husband, was he? Was he?
All right, he wasn't.
Why'd you lie to me?
Because I wanted to make sure you'd help me.
What kind of a game are you playing?
When I told you I killed Craig, that was the truth.
Why'd you kill him?
Because he deserved to die. He was blackmailing me. Johnny, you've got to get him out of here quickly.
Oh, no.
I'll meet you out at Mount Crescent Cemetery. All you have to do is carry him down the back stairs to the hearse.
Nothing doing. I'm not going to touch him. I couldn't put my hands on him.
$1,000, Johnny. It's still waiting for you.
I don't want this house anymore.
Here, Johnny, I'll give you half of it now.
No.
When you're finished out at the cemetery, you'll get the rest.
No, I said...
Here, take the $500.
I told you, no.
Now, look what you've done. You only have to pick it up.
I'm not going to pick it up. I don't want any part of your lousy dough. Keep it. The deal's off.
Oh, no, Johnny. The deal isn't off at all. Not a bit. You're going to do exactly as agreed. Money or no money, you've got to. Now...
No. What do you mean?
You told me you spoke to the super. He saw you here. They'll find Craig's body if you don't take it out.
So they'll find it, so what?
That detective, Maxton, he knows you now, Johnny. The detective remembers a face. They're good at that. If Craig's body is found, you'll be blamed for the murder.
Why, you dirty little... So that's it?
Yeah, that's it. And there's nothing you can do about it, Johnny. Absolutely nothing.
I carried Alan Craig down the back stairs to the wagon. I always thought the dead were cold and stiff. But they're not that way at all. Craig... hung over my shoulder like a warm rag doll. And with each step down those dark stairs, he bounced. And his face touched mine. With each step, a scream broke loose down deep inside of me, and I had to bite my tongue to keep the scream from coming out. I finally got him to the wagon. I dropped him into the box. And I closed the lid. He was there in the box, but I could still feel his weight on my shoulder. His face brushing against mine. I shut the back door and walked to the front of the wagon.
Where are you going,
what?
Bryce?
Maxton.
I said, where are you going?
What are you doing here?
You still didn't answer my question.
To the garage. I'm putting the wagon away for the night.
You didn't tell me you drove a hearse.
You didn't ask me.
Didn't I?
No.
Well, then I guess I didn't ask. I was waiting out front. You didn't come out that way.
Oh, there... Backstairs, I had my wagon parked here in the alley.
And why didn't you go in through the back?
Huh?
You went in the front way.
How did you know?
Oh, maybe I was outside when you got him.
Maxton, who are you?
You saw my badge. I'm a cop. What do you got in that hearse?
Just a box.
What's in the box?
Nothing.
Sure?
It's empty.
And you wouldn't mind if I had a look.
But
let go of my arm.
I tell you, the box is empty.
What are you so nervous about? Your hands shaking like a leaf.
The box, I swear, there's nothing in it.
That's what you said.
What are you going to do?
Nothing, Bryce. Like you said, the box is empty. I'll see you around sometime. Soon.
Maxton walked out of the alley, got into a car, and drove off. What was the game they were playing, Vera and Maxton? Why did Maxton get me off so easy? I drove the wagon out of the alley and headed for Mount Crescent Cemetery, where Vera was supposed to be waiting. When I got to the River Drive, I started to breathe again. Well, I was lucky after all. I steered Maxton off. And I noticed there was a car behind me. I knew who it was. Maxton. That's why he let me off, so he could tail me. I slammed the gas down all the way. He stayed right behind, the same distance. There was a curve ahead. I ran to the turn and then cut off to the side of the road.
I killed the lights and waited. Maxton's car whipped by.
I got out of that fast and took a back road for my date with Vera at the cemetery.
What took you so long, Johnny?
Well, Maxton told me, Vera, but... Well, I shook him off.
What is it, Johnny?
For the way you look. Here in the moonlight.
What's the matter with the way I look?
There's something about you that reminds me.
Reminds you of what, Johnny?
Death. You're not something alive or real.
Here's the shovel. You'll dig the grave over there near that tree.
No. No, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
This way, Johnny.
Stay where you are, Ross. Maxton. Get rid of me, eh?
Maxton, believe me. I had nothing to do with it. It was all her idea. I didn't want to come out here.
You picked a Lulu this time, Vera.
So you found out, Steve. What are you going to do?
What is this?
A nice yellow Lulu. He tries to pin it all on you.
What are you two talking about?
So this is the spot where you two have been meeting.
Meeting?
Cut the act, Bryce.
I don't get this.
You're wasting your breath. That's not going to save you. I told my wife if I ever caught her...
Vera's your wife.
No use, Johnny. There's nothing we can do about it now.
But
now you'll find out everything about us.
Maxton was holding the gun level at Vera. She was right. He'd find out everything. Craig's body was a few yards away in that wagon. I couldn't let Maxton find that body. I waited a second, and I jumped out. I
saw the gun fly out of his hand. I held him by the coat collar. He brought his right all the way around. I ducked just in time. Then I buried my fist in the snow. I heard the wind go out of him. Then he dropped to the ground. Come on, let's get out of here.
No, Johnny.
Come here, around soon.
We can't go yet, Johnny, don't you see?
See what?
He'll find you. No matter where you go, he'll find you. I know him. He'll hang for Alec Craig's murder.
But I didn't kill Craig. You did.
We'll both hang. He'll fix it that way. You won't have a chance. Here. Take this.
Gun?
It's his.
What do you want me to do?
Take it, Johnny. You know what you've got to do. Kill him.
Kill him?
It's the only way out for you now. You've got to kill him.
But I can't. I can't.
All you do is pull the trigger. It's so simple.
He shoved the gun into my hand. The metal of it burned my palm like a hot poker.
Hurry up, Johnny. Shoot.
I couldn't lift my hand.
Hurry, before it's too late.
She picked up my hand and aimed the gun at him.
Before it's too late, Johnny.
Maxton was laying in the moonlight, quiet and still. I closed my eyes against the sight of him. Then I felt her finger press mine. I buried Maxton. All the time I shoveled, Vera stood there watching. That same devil's smile on her face. After I dug another grave, I went back to the wagon to get Craig's body. I opened the little box and reached it.
Vera!
I sat there in the dark of the wagon, my brain not believing what my hands touched. The insides of the empty box.
Vera!
Didn't come. I got out of the wagon and started for the grave.
Vera! Vera, he's not here. The box.
Vera's gone, Bryce.
What? It was Craig. Alec Craig. Standing right there in the path in front of me.
She's gone, Bryce.
Hey, you're dead. I put you in the box. You're dead.
Yeah, Bryce. Touch my hand.
No, stay away from me.
Touch me, Bryce. Feel how dead I am.
Don't you come near me.
You don't have to be afraid, Bryce. I'm not dead, not really.
You are. She killed you. That blood on your shirt, that's where the knife...
Blood? Yes, I admit it is realistic. But it's only a combination of red ink and grease. But it did get the effect Vera and I wanted. You really thought I was dead. You're such a chump, Bryce.
Why did you do this to me? Why me?
We had to get her husband out of the way. We wanted him dead, but only a chump commits murder. A chump you can buy with $1,000 or with fear.
You're having a good time, huh, Craig?
Oh, terrific.
You're not going to get away with this.
No? What are you going to do about it, Bryce? Go to the police? Tell them the story? Sure. You do that. Tell them how you held the murder gun, how your fingers squeezed the trigger.
She made me
tell that to the police, Bryce. Tell them. And let me know what they say. I'll be waiting to hear about it.
He walked down the path, laughing at me. Me, the prize chump of them all. Well, this chump had one idea. One good idea that was really going to kill him. He started the wagon and headed it down the path. I caught Craig in my headlights. He turned. That hyena smile was still on him. Then when he saw what I was going to do, the laugh dropped off his face. He jumped to the side of the path and ran up a hill. I drove right up after him. He twisted and turned, but I didn't let him out of the headlights. He was just getting to the tomb at the top of the hill when I stepped down all the way.
Took you so long.
Hello, Viva.
Johnny.
What's the matter? Aren't you glad to see me?
What are you doing here?
We'll talk about it inside.
There's nothing to talk about.
I said I'm coming in.
Get out of here.
There's no way to treat an old friend. Craig told me all about it. How you framed me into the murder.
Of course he told you. It was all my idea.
Cute idea.
Told you before, there's nothing we have to talk about it, so you might as well leave.
You're expecting Craig, is that right, Vera?
None of your business now. Either you get out...
Craig won't be here.
What?
He couldn't make it, Vera. On account of he's dead. That's right, good and dead. You should have heard him scream when the wagon hit him. You should have heard him, Vera.
You're lying. You wouldn't do a thing like that. You're not a murderer.
Sure I am, Vera. You made me a murderer. You remember this gun, don't you, Vera?
Johnny, listen.
All you do is pull the trigger. It's so simple, remember?
Johnny, that's $1,000.
Oh, yeah. I had $1,000. This is where I came in.
You can have it now.
You can do a lot with $1,000.
Right, Johnny, that's right. You can get away from everything you hate. You won't have to be near death anymore. You can be free of it forever. The phone. What are you
doing? $1,000. It's all there, Vera?
Yes, Johnny, yes, all of it, and it's yours now. You've earned it.
Operator. The police.
Yes. Johnny, what are you doing? Why are you calling?
Hello? My name's Johnny Bryce. I want to report a murder.
Oh, you crazy fool. They'll hang you.
The one who was killed? Her name is Vera Max.
No.
The address is 23 Grove Street. The killer? Sure. His name is Johnny Bryce.
Not...
Yeah, that's right, me. Oh, I'll be waiting right here for you.
Johnny, don't do it, please. You can have $1,000. Even more, $3,000, Johnny. Five. Listen, Johnny, even more than $5. I'll get you as much as you want, anything. Anything. Johnny, stop.
Now, that's the way I like to see our stories finish. Plenty of corpses and no remorses. Well, Johnny finally got the drop on Vera. But you should see the drop the hangman got on Johnny. There is a moral in tonight's tangy little tidbit. It comes from the grave works of the funeral philosopher, Wormley Digger, author of Wanhurst Town. Now, how's it go?
Oh, yes.
When you plant a corpse, be prepared for anything. You can never tell what might come up. Good night. Pleasant dreams. Thank you.
Inner Sanctum was heard in the United States over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, and has been rebroadcast for servicemen and women overseas through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
Inner Sanctum, untuned to yesterday from March 21st, 1949, first heard on CBS, that was an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast, featuring the talents of Everett Sloan, Larry Haynes, and Alice Reinhardt. Making her fifth appearance on the show, she was best known during radio's yesteryear for her title role on the soap opera Life is Beautiful. This is an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now a tale from Art Obler on his Lights Out series called Knock at the Door. The CBS episode heard on December 15th, 1942.
Ironized Yeast presents Lights Out. Everybody.
It is later than you think.
Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you, calmly but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
My name, Art Obler. Tonight, another in our series of tales of the weird and the unusual. I plead with all mothers-in-law who listen to tonight's story not to send me poison pen letters. The fact of the matter is, I like mothers-in-law. I'm really not responsible for what happens in the twisted brains of my characters, am I?
And now? Lights out. Everybody.
Afraid to die? Who isn't? When I was just a kid, I used to wake up in the night and see the dark pressing all around me. And I'd get so scared, I'd think I was dead, buried. I'd try to scream. I couldn't. My voice, I'd know I was dead. I'd know it. I'd throw off the cover. I'd cry out, Mother, Mother! Oh, why? Why did I yell out like that? Why should I be scared now? I want to die. I gotta die. It's cold here in the basement. I wonder if the grave is cold. Why don't I get it over with? The rope's around my neck. One step off the ladder and I'll hang and die. And I gotta die. I gotta die.
The wages of sin are death.
The wages of sin are death. Funny how I seem to hear the words the way my father used to say them. The wages of sin. But was it sin? No, it was hate. I killed her because I hated her. I remember the first time we met. Jay had just married me. And we were walking along the street to his house.
Oh, Ella, you'll like my ma. Really, you will.
Will I?
Sure, she's swell. Best woman in the world.
Is she?
Well, I mean... Well, you're my wife now. Ella, that proves what I think of you, don't it?
I guess it does.
Oh, you and Ma'll get along fine. Will this be a surprise to her? Well, here's the house. What do you think of it?
Well, it's all right.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Will Ma's eyes pop when she sees you? Pop right out, I'll bet you. Come on, Ma, open up. Got a surprise for you.
Jay, where have you been, son? Where? Oh.
Surprised, eh, Ma? Meet Ella.
Jay, you've brought home a woman.
When she said it that way, right from that minute, I knew I hated her. And that's the way it was from then on. I wasn't Jay's wife to her, but a woman. Stranger in her house. And it was her house and everything in it.
Nothing Jay's. Everything hers.
Ma, can I use your car to take Ella riding? Ma, mind if Ella plants some roses in your garden? Ma, is it all right if Ella uses...
That's the way it was. Hers, hers, everything hers. All I had was Jay, and he wasn't much. You can't blame me, you hear me? You can't blame me for not standing it. All my life I'd had nothing, and at last I was married, and I still had nothing. Her house, her car, her money, her son. I couldn't stand it, I tell you. So I killed him.
The wages of sin are death.
Why do I keep hearing Pa's words in my head? I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to do it. It's just that I want to sit here on top of a ladder and think and talk about everything for a little while. It's the last chance I'll get. So, like I said, I killed it. Well, not right away. I stood it for weeks and months. But all the time inside of me, something was talking.
Kill her. Everything will be yours.
Kill her. Soft, like. And then louder and louder until my head was filled with it. Louder and louder until I couldn't stand it no more. Louder and louder until I said, yes, I'll do it. Yes. Yes. Everything would be mine then. Everything. I always wanted it that way. It had to be that way. Here in this basement, that's where it happened. Jay went to work. I came down here. Oh, it wasn't very hard to do what I had to do. I remember every minute of it so well. Every minute. I called her, and she came down into the basement.
You called me, Ella?
Yes, I called you.
What's the matter?
Somebody took the lid off the sewer down here.
Land sakes alive. Now, who could have done that? Heavy iron cover like that. Jay wouldn't have done it.
Is it deep down there?
Of course it's deep. It ain't a sewer anyway. Covers an old well this building was built over.
Oh.
What are you owing about? Heard my son Jay tell you the same thing weeks ago.
Yes, he did tell me. Funny, I forgot. Oh, look.
What?
Down in the well, look.
I don't see nothing. What?
Oh, it's your well, isn't it, Mama? Your well. Everything is yours, so stay in it. Stay in it, Mama. Stay in it. You're well, Mama, but everything else is mine now. Everything mine, mine. That's the way it was. Easy. Too easy. Jay came home. He said...
Hey, Ella, where's Ma?
I don't know. She wasn't here when I got back from the store. Must have gone out.
Oh. Well, she'll be back. Leave it to Ma.
But she didn't come back. How could she? Jay went to the police. They came around. They asked questions. They went away. And nothing happened. It was as easy as that.
Wages of sin are death. Wages of sin are death.
Oh, why do I keep hearing that in my head? Why? I'm gonna die. Rope around my neck. Just a little bit longer talking, just a little. She was gone. And I had her house and her son. And then I didn't want him. I tell you, he made me sick just to look at him. Mama, Mama. I wanted to forget. And then one day, I got an idea. There was more room under that iron lid in the basement, wasn't there? That was it? Yes, that was it. Got free of her, now I'd get free of him. Sell the house, quick, get away, away, far away. Yeah, that was it, a free woman. With my looks and all that money, oh, would I have a time. I planned everything. Told the neighbors Jay was going on a trip. I'd said Jade wrote me to sell the place and join him out of town. I tell you, it was perfect. I came home that night. The night I was gonna let him join his mama.
Anybody home?
I'm always home.
Oh, you said that just like Mama used to.
Did I?
Say, that reminds me. I got a new detective agency working on the case. They think that maybe she lost her memory somehow. You know, like you read about...
All right, all right.
What, Ella?
Sit down and eat your supper. You want it to get cold?
Oh, I don't see why you don't want to talk about finding Mama. After all...
Sit down and eat your supper. You'll find your Mama.
You think so, Ella?
Sure.
Oh, say, that's good hearing you say that. Finding my Ma, that's something I sure like to do.
He sat down to eat. I'd made him a good supper. Why not? His last supper. And then it happened. We were sitting there eating when there was a knocking at the door.
No. Who can that be?
How should I know? Get up and answer it.
Yeah. Peddler, I'll bet you. Nobody here.
Then shut the door and come on back and finish your supper.
That's funny. I heard knocking plain, didn't you?
Yeah, kid's playing jokes. Go on, eat. I want you to help me fix something in the basement.
Fix what?
You'll see. Finish your eating first.
Okay.
Those crazy kids.
What?
Hannah, sit where you are. I'll go and...
Hello, wait.
Wait for what?
Listen. That knocking. How funny it sounds.
Those kids.
But it's from the basement door.
No.
Well, I better go see...
No. Jay, don't open that door. Don't, I tell you.
Don't see why not. Somebody knocking, I gotta see who...
Jay, leave the door closed.
What's the matter with you? Gotta open it, gotta see...
No, Jay.
No.
Oh, no.
Mama. Mama.
Yeah. It was her, all right. There she was. Eyes glaring. Dirty gray old hair plastered wet around her face. Standing there. I could see her with my own eyes. And yet she was dead, I tell you, dead. Jay didn't know that, no. He took that dead thing by the arm, and he led her into the room. And he sat her down in a chair.
Oh, Mama, Mama. You did come back. I knew you would. We both knew it, didn't we, Ella? Now tell us, Mama, where you been. Why'd you go? Yeah, why come back this funny way? The back way up the basement steps. Why, Mama? Mama, you're sick. Oh, Ella, look. She's dripping wet. Ella, quick, take her upstairs and put her to bed. Yeah, and maybe you'd better sleep with her tonight. Keep her warm. Ella? Why are you looking so funny? Ella! Ma! Ella fainted. Why did she faint? Why?
Sure, I fainted. Me sleep with that. Me keep that warm. Oh, no. I didn't wake up until next morning. Jay was leaving for work. He told me she was sleeping in her room to take good care of her when she woke up. And he went away, happy as Mama was back. When he was gone, I sat down there in the kitchen and waited. It got on to 5. Soon he'd be coming home. I had to know. I tell you, I had to. I went upstairs. To her room. I opened the door. Nobody there. I tell you, nobody there. The bed not even slept in. She'd never been there, never. I dreamed it. Jay dreamed it. She wasn't there. She hadn't come back. But I had to be sure. I went down in the basement. I pried up that old iron lid. There was the open well. I lit a lantern and held it in the black hole. I looked in. She was there. floating in the water like a big fat... Oh, but she was still there. Well, that's all that mattered. I piled things over the lid to hold it down. An old trunk, boxes, heavy things. That's what I did. Jay came home after a while. He said...
How's Mama?
I said... All right. He said...
Call her down to dinner, will you?
I said... Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, that's what I said. I knew Mama was all right where she was. We sat down to dinner. He kept talking about her. How funny it was that she still was sleeping. How funny it was the way she came back. But all the time I was laughing inside myself because I knew what had happened was just a strange dream we both had had because she was dead. Dead and floating. We sat there eating. I felt good. A bad dream ended. For this night, Jay would join his mama. Swimming. Yeah. And then, just like the night before, it happened.
Say, now who in the world's that? And it's the basement door again. Now what in the... Mama! You!
Yeah, I screamed. What good was that? There she was again. The water dripping down off her face and clothes and puddling on the floor. And this time I knew it was no dream. She came into the room. She sat down on a chair. Jay talking all the time. He didn't see the way I saw that her face was... started to thunder. And Jay said...
Oh, Mama, Mama, you should never have sneaked out on a night like this. Now to bed with you. In the morning, I'll call the doctor. Ella, you take Mama upstairs to bed. And this time, be sure you sleep with her. You know how scared she is of thunder. Go on now. She's soaked to the skin.
I just sat there. I tell you, I couldn't move. Thinking of going upstairs with her, being in the same room with her, it froze me to my chair. And Jay said...
No, come to think of it, I'll go fetch the doctor right now. Can't take any more chances. Ella, you take Mama right upstairs and put her to bed. Lie down with her. Keep her warm till I get back with Doc Whitney.
Then he was gone. Gone after the doctor. I sat there, the flesh on me crawling. The doctor'd come and he'd see that she was dead, dead a long time. He'd be sure to see it the way I saw it, dead. And the water had... How long we sat there looking at each other, I don't know. And then her lips moved. And it was like a cold wind. My son said to put me to bed. That's what she said. My son said to put me to bed. And then I understood the whole thing. She'd come back from the dead to keep me from killing him. And she wanted me along upstairs to... No, I wouldn't do it. I sat there without moving. Her lips moved again. He said to keep me warm. Come upstairs, Ella, to keep me warm. Me keeping that dead thing warm. Her wet, cold, dripping skin against... No, I wouldn't do it. She thought she'd make me crazy that way. Hold me in her bony arms until the sense in me ran out, the way the well water was running out of her. Make me crazy. Something to be locked away like they locked my own mother away. Crazy, crazy. Oh, no, that wouldn't happen to me. She wouldn't make me crazy, not me. I got to my feet. I turned quick before she could stop me. The basement door. I locked it behind me. I ran down the basement steps. Oh, I knew how to cheat her. The sure way, the only way. Oh, that's why I'm down here now. The rope around my neck. The other end tied to the crossbeam. I'll jump off this ladder. The rope will stretch. I'll be dead. Dead. And she'll never get me crazy. Still thundering. If I make noise as I choke, nobody will hear me. And I'll die. And I'll never see her again. Why don't I do it now? There ain't much time. Jay and the doctor will be coming back. I gotta be dead then. Good and dead, or they'll find out the truth about her. Why don't I do it now? Why don't I do it? Because I'm afraid. Afraid of dying. That's why I've been talking here in the dark, because I'm afraid. Oh, it'll be so dark. Empty. Things will go on in the world, and I'll have nothing but the dark. Why should I die? Yeah, why should I? If I left this house, she wouldn't follow me, would she? That's all she wants, the house, her Jay. Well, she can have him. I'll go right away. Far away, they'll never find me, never. Oh, the rope. It's so tight around my neck. Oh, I gotta get it off. I gotta hurry and get away before Jay and the duck. I can't get the rope off. Who's there? Who's coming down the steps? Is that you, Jay? Oh, you. You followed me down. How could you? I locked the door. Oh, but then I put that iron lid over you, too, didn't I? And it didn't do much good. Oh, listen. Listen, I'll go away. You hear me? I'll go away. This'll be your house and everything in it. Hear me, all yours again. And Jay, I'll leave him, too. I won't take anything with me. I'll just go right away. Get the rope off. I'll go. You'll see me go. Oh, I made the noose so tight, I can't seem to... Mrs. Kroger, what are you going to do? Oh, you're not going to climb up the ladder. Oh, no. No, stay off. Stay off, I tell you. Don't come closer. I can't stand you coming closer. Stay away, the ladder. The ladder will fall. The rope is still around my neck if I fall. No. No. No, you won't make me die. I've got hold of the rope with my hand. I won't choke this way. My arms are strong. I can hold on to the rope above my head for a long time. Jay will be home right away. He'll get me down. I'll live. I will, and you'll still be dead. Dead. I'll tell them that you fell in the well. They'll believe me. They'll believe me. Well, say something. Say something. I know you're standing down there watching me. You're waiting for my arms to get tired, so I'll let go. But I won't let go. I won't. Jay'll be home. I can't let go. I can't hang. I gotta live. Oh, my arms. Oh, I'm so tired. I gotta hold on. I gotta hold on. Or the noose. Oh, cramping arm. Jay, I got a cramp. I can't hold on anymore. Jay, I wouldn't have killed you. Jay, I can't hold on. Jay! Thank you.
last week and again this. Do you really believe the dead can return to avenge?
Well, I have an answer this week. A factual one. Frank, have you ever heard of Charles Fort?
No, I haven't.
Well, Charles Hoy Fort was born in 1874 and died in New York in 1932. The unusual, the supernormal, the supernatural fascinated him, just as one man might collect postage stamps. Charles Fort, for 20 or 30 years, collected records of phenomena which dogmatic science couldn't explain, strange murders and so forth. I suggest that, therefore, that any of you who think that this is the only possible world spend a very pleasant weekend reading these records in Mr. Fort's work, The Book of the Damned. The best possible answer to the ghost question is, who knows?
And now what about next week, Mr. Obler?
Well, next week, a story of suspense, which is, I believe, quite different from anything you've ever heard before. Have you ever watched a shooting star streak across the sky and suddenly have a feeling of almost terror? But, well, all that's next week.
Lights Out will come to you again next Tuesday at the same time. Be sure to listen to Arch Obler's weird story of the thing out of interstellar space. And if you need more vitamin B and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast, the one and only ironized yeast, with the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet.
Lights Out, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 15th of December, 1942 on CBS. And we can bring the lights up, for this is the end of an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.